So could you tell us your very first encounter with Lumpa Cha? How did it happen? What did he say to you? What impression did you have then? My very first encounter with Lumpa Cha, well, actually, not with him personally. My very first encounter with Lumpa Cha was I encountered a sheet of paper at or a sheet or two of paper, and I was staying in a monastery in the outskirts of Bangkok, what playing Vipassana, and it was a traditional city monastery. They had study monks there, but they had a meditation section. There was probably about, I'm thinking back, maybe about 8 kutis in a section of the monastery. And there was encouragement for monks and lay people, to laymen in particular, in that section to be practicing. And there's a whole other section for the lay women and nuns. But they had a good... One of the reasons why I went is because they... I'd heard that it was a practice monastery with a good selection of English books in their library. And so then I had just finished doing a month-long Mahasi Sayadaw retreat. That was my introduction to meditation in my life. I wanted to continue meditating. And I had to come to Bangkok to extend my passport. So I was there, and then I got to this place. I'm really wanting to learn more about Buddhism and get more practice under my belt. And then I came across this about 2 or 3 or 4 anecdotes of somebody who had been at Wat Bapong and had written down some teachings that Ajahn Chah gave. They really impressed me. Something spoke to me, and so then I ended up ordaining, in my mind, a temporary ordination. I'm 24 years old. I've got my. I'm on the road. I'd been traveling for about a year by then, and still keen on traveling. But I thought, the monks at that monastery had said you could take it. It was ordinary to take temporary ordination, 3 months, 4 months. And I thought, 3 or 4 months, I can do that. And so then I took ordination, and then I started hearing about, because of the English library there, and also the abbot, the vice abbot spoke good English, so that there was various lay people and monks coming to there. So then started hearing about these forest monasteries, and that started sounding really attractive, and then started hearing Ajahn Chah again, and so I was fairly newly ordained, probably maybe a month ordained, and I spoke with the abbot of the monastery, and he encouraged me to go and pay respects to Ajahn Chah. Yeah, that would be he's a really good teacher. Ajahn Chah wasn't that well known, really, at that time, but the abbot was familiar with Ajahn Chah, and really encouraged me to go. So I went up to Ubon. You take an overnight train, and then I can't remember how I got from the train station to Wat Bapong. They walk into Wat Bapong, and it's just, this forest, and it's really peaceful. It's incredibly cool and beautiful. And monks coming back from alms around and sort of seeing all this, and it's a nice, clean monastery, and it's really orderly, and then go to pay respects to Lompo Cha. I get taken to pay respects to Lompo Cha. I bow three times, and then Ajahn Chah was just really quiet. And then he looked at me. If you want to stay here, you have to stay at least 5 years. So that was the first thing that Ajahn Chah said to me. I was terrified. The idea of 5 years was just like, that's it's almost the rest of your life at that age. So it put me in turmoil. And so I ended up staying a few weeks, but the idea of 5 years just was too intimidating. And so then I left and went to another monastery, a meditation center in central Thailand. And I spent many months there and practicing quite diligently, and didn't, after, you know, several months, sort of like, I just kept thinking of Ajahn Chah all the time. And so I thought, I've got to go back and give myself 5 years is 5 years, I've got to do it. So I went back, and it was after, I wrote, and when I'd first gone to Wat Bapong, Ajahn Sumedho wasn't there. He was still off on Tudong in India. But then I wrote to Wat Bapong, and then Ajahn Sumedho actually answered. It was before the Pansa, asking to go and spend the Pansa spend the Vasa at Wat Bapong. That would have been 1974. And Ajahn Sumedho wrote back and welcomed me to come and spend the Vasa. And then I spoke with my teacher at the place that I was at, and he had been, this was like his, he'd been building, he hadn't been there all the time, and so he said, I haven't been here to really guide you or give instruction, and I've been building it, but I've had duties at the main monastery. He'd lived there for many years. And this was his own monastery. He was finally setting up his own place. And asked him, please spend the Vasa with us, and I'll take you myself. I've got an invitation after the rains retreat to teach nearby Wat Bapong, and I'll take you up there myself. So I said, okay. So I ended up being taken up by my teacher and given to Ajahn Chah. So yeah, Ajahn Chah, the impression I had was, yeah, you know, he's obviously a certain fierceness there that was intimidating, but then also the kind of just something about him and about the place, and to a certain degree, I mean, it was the. The place itself was a reflection of Ajahn Chah, in the sense that here was a monastery that was, people were committed to practice and training and had a real focus for giving themselves to the practice. And one of the things that, I was inspired by the monastic community, but I was also really inspired by the lay community. The lay community were, because every week, I mean, there was people there every day coming to help support the place. And there was always people sort of around. But then on the lunar observance days, The hall would be full of people who were meditating and listening to Dhamma. And that, in those days, I mean, I could hardly sit cross-legged on the floor, and knees up to my ears, sort of thing. It was incredibly uncomfortable. I'm sitting on a concrete floor, and had a hard time sitting for very long. And these lay people were sitting meditation for hours. It was really inspiring. Just seeing that commitment and the effect that it had on a lay society around, and the villages and the town, that was really inspiring. Well, the effect that Ajahn Chah had on so many people. And then one of the last things that I experienced at Wat Bapong in that first visit was Magha Puja. So that was a formal festival day, and again, many, many people coming. But that used to be the time when all the various branch monasteries of Wat Bapong would come together. And at that time, let's say 1974, there's probably, 12 to 15 branch monasteries. And so then, you end up with large number of monks gathering, a huge number of lay people, and this simple ceremony of a circumambulation, and then the Dhamma teachings that are given. It was just something really inspiring to that, and this sense of, yes, Ajahn Chah was a great meditator independent, solitary person, but he's somebody who had a huge effect on the world around him. And so that was really, to me, very, very inspiring.